Welcome to the Becoming a Streamer podcast by Pipeline, where we interview your favorite streamers and learn about their journey to where they are today. I'm your host and co-founder of Pipeline, Snoopy. Today, I'm joined by Trump SC, one of the most experienced live streamers in the world. He first got his start playing competitive Magic the Gathering in school, to now having over 800,000 followers on Twitch, where he streams regularly to thousands of people every single day. If you play Hearthstone, you might know him as the mayor of Value Town. In this episode, you'll find out how important passion is, and if you love it, please share it with a friend. So Trump, there's a period back in the early days of my career, just like in the middle, I was watching a lot of Hearthstone content because that was the game that, like, when I was switching off our league, we'd play a lot of Hearthstone. And it was just really hot topic in the esports at the time. And I was watching your content and learning how to play. There's also a bunch of Firebat as well. So it was a pleasure to have you on. I've been kind of following you from afar for many years. So it's great to have you on and learn more about your journey.
Of course, good to be on. I don't agree to many of these, but for you, sure.
Oh, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks. So before we dive too deep into your journey, I'd love to just give the audience some context. So they're mostly new streamers. And I'd love to give them some context on where you're streaming today, and where you're creating content, and how regularly.
Sure. I'm at TrumpSC. You can catch me on twitch.tv/TrumpSC, youtube.com/TrumpSC. And I was just looking this up. It's almost my 10-year anniversary of streaming.
Wow. 10 years in the game.
That's right.
That's a decade. Most people can't stick any job for a decade, let alone an industry that's brand new. That's impressive. Well done.
Yep, just about under a month, and I'll hit that 10-year mark.
That is super cool. I was chatting, I think halfway, I was speaking with her the other week, and she's at 8 years. So you've got her beat by two. Nice.
Yeah, she's also an old hat. I've run into her in multiple games before, even before Hearthstone.
Yeah, I was surprised she'd be Battle Rite. I didn't know she was she was really good at Battle Rite. What game did you run into her before?
League of Legends.
League? Yeah, cool. Anyway, I want to wind the clock right back. Right back, all the way to young Trump. When you were first growing up, how did you get yourself into games?
I began with school. I played the Oregon Trail, and it was a lot of fun. And I was like, these games are so fun. They're letting us play games while at school. I'm going to play even more games. And so probably since I was young, I've just been playing computer games a lot.
Did you have buddies in real life that were also playing games at the same time? And that's like, that was part of the kind of conversation or social, like, kind of environment that you had? Or was it, no, you kind of found these people online and play with them?
I was more of a solo player in elementary school. In middle school, I found a few people who really liked games. In high school, found my group. We had a games club where we played board games, computer games, played some Dota together while in class.
Were you, because I know notoriously you're very good at video games, but back then, were you known as the guy that was good, or like, what was your kind of angle in the games with your buddies?
I actually wasn't that good at Dota, and when I talk about Dota, I'm talking about the Warcraft 3 mod. That's what existed in high school. I was known as a good player, I guess. They got me into Magic the Gathering, which was a good stepping stone to Hearthstone, of course. I was good. Not great. Good.
Did you ever do any form of competition locally or anything like that in those early days when you were first getting into Magic or Dota?
Yeah, I actually got a college scholarship on Magic the Gathering because I won a Junior Super Series tournament.
So you just told me a second ago you weren't that good, but you won a scholarship.
We're beating up kiddos there. It's all right.
I think it's a high bar. That's because you're so good generally. You're like comparing yourself to that. So that's really impressive. How did you go about getting a scholarship? So they got you into Magic, and then you're playing Magic with them, but you obviously, I'm guessing, got quite good at Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Did you continue playing with them, or did you kind of drift off from your friends?
While we were in high school together, we played a lot. Even a little bit out, we played a bit on Magic Online. And I just really like gaming and I like the competitive nature of it. So I got into tournaments.
Did you have any aspiration, like, oh, I want to win, I want to be the best? Did you have this kind of inner drive, or was it, I just really enjoy this, and if I'm good at it, that's great?
Yeah, always. When I get into any game, I want to be the best at it. Even if that's sometimes unrealistic, I still have that inner desire.
And why was it Magic specifically?
It fits my style. I like turn-based strategy games, and Magic is a good example of when you do a plan, you do an action. I also like real-time strategy. Basically, it's a strategy game, and strategy games are awesome.
So when you're getting it and you've got this scholarship, did your parents or family, like when you said, I've got a scholarship, was this something you were working towards, or was it something that happened then you told everyone this is what's happening?
Okay, it probably sounds a little bit more impressive than it actually is, because it's not the full scholarship, partial scholarship.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, okay, cool. That just about pays for all the Magic stuff that we've bought you in the past.
But not for college, I guess.
Honestly, they weren't that impressed.
Yeah. Did you want them to be more impressed than they were? Or were you like, whatever, they've never really gotten, you know, my relationship with games?
My parents didn't really get it back then.
When you say back then, so one day, because my own journey with games, it definitely evolved over time for my parents. Were they against it, or were they like, you're kind of wasting your time, whatever, you're young, you'll figure it out and you'll grow up?
Let's see. They were enablers in that they allowed me, like they drove me to all the Magic clubs, the board game stores. But they were against me pursuing it full time.
If I remember, you got to university and this scholarship, was this the one where you actually got your degree for business?
Yeah, it was. I went to New York University.
And when you went to New York University, is that the first time, did you move away from home at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I lived all the way in the Bay Area, so had to fly out and get my own living for a bit.
And did that mean you went even more into, pursuing being the best Magic player, or were you a good student and you actually focused on your school?
Let's see. I was really into World of Warcraft then, so that consumed most of my time. I may have played a bit of Magic Online also, and they have tournament modes there, and I don't remember the exact timeline. Might have been during college or a little bit after. I did play a lot online too.
And were you making some money? So you were like, I can justify this. This is like, I'm making something from these online tournaments. Or was it more of a labor of love?
You know, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. That's why I chose New York University a bit, to try to pursue business. In high school, I went into the business of selling Magic the Gathering online cards, online on eBay. So I was always into the idea of seeing if I could make something of my gaming hobby.
That's fascinating. That's really unique for most content creators to have that foresight early on. Like, a lot of people get it, you know, later. So you're really good at games. And how did you start to become known as, like, I'm a competitor, I'm going to compete? Because I remember, you know, fast forward a lot, you know, 2013, 14, like 15, I remember you being a staple in the Blizzard community. But when you were in those early days, how did you start to establish yourself as a contender? Was it within the Magic scene you gained some notoriety?
No, I basically have no fame in Magic. What began it for me is that I got into StarCraft 2 very, very early, like very limited beta access. And then I started streaming it back before Justin TV on a site called Livestream, back when that was one of the only games in town. So by virtue of being first and being, you know, I'm nothing compared to the people now, but back then I held a decent caliber. That's how I got my following.
When you, so live stream, that's, I remember on 3D, and I think live stream might have even been before that. What made you go, were you making any YouTube content at this point around anything? Or did you go, no, I like live stream was the first time you went to make content?
I definitely started with live streaming first. The YouTube content came a little bit later. I did do it during my early StarCraft days. So only a few months after I started live streaming, I also started putting out some YouTube videos.
So this is fascinating because it seems you said a lot of foresight, especially for someone like a pro, because most pros are oblivious to the content side for almost too long, I think. You're getting pretty good at, were you good at StarCraft or were you just creating content around it?
I've never tried to brand myself as a personality streamer. So I've always aimed to be good at the games that I've played. So was I good? Yes, you know, good is on a big scale. I don't think if I were to play StarCraft right now, I would even make it to Diamond probably. But back then, I was one of the top players. And by top players, I don't mean like competitive-wise, yeah, but
top in North America is not hard to achieve. So that's...
Yeah.
So you started live streaming and you said entrepreneurial. I think that's really interesting. Why did you decide live streaming was the avenue to kind of monetize your love of games?
Honestly, I didn't. I just did it because I enjoyed doing it.
Good. So you enjoyed doing it on live stream. Were you getting any viewers on live stream at the time?
Yeah, it was actually pretty amazing how much of a following I got right at start. I credit that to being one of the first people, you know, since I've actually been in the game for 10 years, one of the first to pull off a decently skilled live stream. I think that the criteria of starting way back then on a new game, which no one else really had access to, is significantly easier than the landscape today.
Yeah, well, I still think it's still a huge testament to have the foresight, because live streaming back then was very janky. There was a lot of like self-teaching that you had to do because the platforms didn't have any kind of robust onboarding at the time. When you were
right, a lot of tech to even set up a stream.
When you were getting started around that time, you're in school, so you made this, you're live streaming. What year are you in at university at this point?
Let's see. I started streaming a little bit after university. I was class of 09, and I started streaming around 2010.
Oh, so did you go and get a real job? When I say real job, I mean real job in quotes.
Yes, I did. I was actually working retail. So I was working full time and then just streaming afterwards.
And how was that for you?
It was fun because, like I mentioned, my entire life's entertainment, the thing that I find fun is playing games. So, and I also like performing. I'm a little bit of a concert pianist as well back when I was younger. So being able to perform gaming was just fun for me. So I was able to do both.
So you primarily, you know, that those early or just after school, you were doing this in the evenings, you were cramming it in. Were you doing it like every night, or was it, you know, did you feel any sense of responsibility to like be live at night in those early days? Or were you just like, I'm going to live stream when I feel like it?
I definitely felt a lot more of a responsibility to keeping up a schedule when starting out. So I would be expected at certain times. I never actually set times, but people knew when I would start in general.
And when you were doing this for a while, when did it start to finally get some traction? You said, you know, you were lucky you were there, StarCraft in the early days, you know, kind of first person creating good quality content on the platform. When did it start to go like, this is, you know, something is happening here? You're in your real job and you're like looking at this thing that's starting to grow. When did you go, maybe
I would say the maybe came as early as high school. Like, I know that I'm talking about a different topic now. You're talking about streaming in particular, but I've always thought I would just do something with something related to gaming online. In high school, I sold Magic the Gathering online cards. In college, I made a World of Warcraft leveling guide. And then outside of college, I started streaming. And then when I got enough viewers in StarCraft 2, I was like, oh yeah, maybe I could do this live streaming. But what really took off for me was the release of Hearthstone.
That's a great transition into Hearthstone. So you were obviously very good at Magic. StarCraft's a Blizzard game, and then Hearthstone came out. Did you have early insights on it coming out? Were you anticipating it? Or did it come out and you made a kind of gradual switch over?
I was definitely anticipating it, and I actually remember it because there were two games that caught my eye. I've keeping in mind from my success in starting when StarCraft came out, I knew that one of the big things was to hit a game hard when it was first coming out, and two games were coming out at the same time. One was Hearthstone, and one was Final Fantasy XIV, and I was like, oh, okay, of course it's going to be Final Fantasy XIV, that's the success. So I played a bit of both, and it surprised me how much Hearthstone took off.
Yeah, it surprised me how much I wasn't a card game person at all, and I got hooked on Hearthstone. So at what year are we now? You're 1 year out of college, you're streaming, you're making this transition to Twitch, and you're thinking, okay, so Hearthstone came out. When did Hearthstone come out? Was that
2013.
It was late 2013, right? I think it was.
Yeah, for a bit at least.
So that came out and you were like, oh, you started to get traction right away in this new game, or?
Yeah, so I owe it to having a established streaming presence and base already from playing StarCraft. So by being one of the literal first people who was streaming Hearthstone and being known as a strategy player, I was able to get an enormous amount of people who are interested in just even seeing the game since they didn't have access to it.
And at this point, you started to see success. And was that... Because you were also at the same time seeing a lot of competitive success, at least with Hearthstone. If I remember right, you were known as... I mean, you still are, like, one of the best players in the world. So how were you balancing creating content and streaming versus I got to be good at the game and compete?
Yeah, that's a good question because it's often competing goals. To be a competitor, it often requires honing a very specific skill over and over again, which is repetitive and not necessarily great for viewing, whereas being an entertainer is often about creating a bunch of unique situations which are enjoyable to watch because, oh my God, I've never seen that before. At least at the beginning, Hearthstone was new enough that everything was new. So just by virtue of trying to be the best, it was good content. Mm-hmm.
And you got, so I believe if I recall, Blizzard 2013 was your first ever event. Is that right?
Let's see. Yeah, BlizzCon 2013. I think that's the first time I ever went to BlizzCon.
And when you were competing there, was this like an oh shit moment for you? Like, this is real? Like, if you can take back, how did you feel going to that event?
You know, that brings me back. I think that's the same event where I met Hafu for the first time and we participated in the same invitational. It was really cool getting to see everyone else in the scene. And I was like, oh my God, I'm getting invited for a gaming thing. I've made it big.
So you're already kind of big. You're getting traction online. How many viewers did you have online before going to BlizzCon 2013?
Oh man, the numbers are a bit fuzzier now. I think when I first started streaming Hearthstone, though, the viewership was in the 10,000 or 20,000 range.
So your viewership's in the 10, 20K range, and then you got invited to BlizzCon 2013, and you were like, oh my God, I made it. So you've already went 10, but it wasn't until you had kind of felt being there in the industry and a part of it that you actually felt I made it?
Well, I mean, honestly, I thought I had made it the first week after I streamed Hearthstone and it wasn't a fad. I was like, oh my God, these people are still watching. So I knew there was interest and it was sustained interest. So that's where I was like, okay, I should probably quit working now and then go into streaming full time.
And was that solely your decision? Was it, did you have to cancel anyone? Or were you like, no, I can do this.
It was, yeah, I've always been a pretty independent person when it comes to making business decisions. So I had to fight my parents in terms of, yeah, guys, I can do this. But yes, I decided at that time to go it myself.
And did you just have conviction in yourself? Like, I'm going to prove this. What kept you going? Because there's a lot of ups and downs, right? And I know in the early days for you, there was a lot of ups, but did you just have pure conviction in your ability?
Well, I mean, at that time, I had already been streaming for about 3 or 4 years, and I knew that I could make at least a minimum wage. And I do mean that was literally a minimum wage. But
so is this a minimum wage in New York or a minimum wage?
A minimum, like, you know, $15 an hour or so on average, roughly. So I thought that I could achieve that pretty consistently. That's right before Hearthstone. So when I started taking off, I was like, yeah, okay, this definitely can work.
And I want to come back to just balancing that competition and the competitive, because I feel like you mentioned it's a real tension between being the best and then being a content creator or an entertainer. And it seems like you have both of those characteristics really strongly in you, like from piano and everything. You have like the entertainer element in you. And then from being a competitor, you are one of the best, you know, card players in the world. So how has that evolved for you over the years in terms of balancing those two? And have you given up, or I won't say given up's not fair, but have you relaxed your expectations of yourself in terms of competition?
I've definitely relaxed myself in terms of competition. There is a need to gauge what your audience enjoys seeing and what the audience as a whole enjoys seeing. And there is enough competitive streams out there, tournament broadcasts, and people know what the best decks are now. Such that it is more interesting to showcase decks that are less mainstream. So I have been focused significantly less on official competition and a lot more on just creating interesting viewing experiences through creating unique decks.
And is that something that you had to wrestle with, like the decision of doing one or the other, or is it, this just makes sense for my business, my career, you know, my fans?
It definitely is a bit of a wrestling. I definitely had a moment where I had to think, why would I ever play this deck? It's clearly bad and I will lose more than I will win with it. But at some point you make the recognition of, oh, it's what the audience wants to see. So you weigh those, what's better, like winning or audience enjoyment. And at some point I started realizing, okay, it's audience enjoyment, and I'll see if I can make it the best weird deck out there to kind of satisfy my competitive nature.
Yeah. Did you ever, over the years, especially in those early days when you were definitely, you know, on top of the world at this point, do you compare yourself to others ever?
Yeah, I think you always have a bit of a sense of comparing yourself. If you're on the competitive nature, you're like, okay, these people are better than me at the game, at the certain role that they do. And then in terms of streaming, you look at how everyone else is doing, you look at their best practices, and you see what's working for them and how they're pulling a bigger audience and what attracts people to them.
One of the things that I found is that you, not necessarily you would even compare yourself, but other people would compare you, you know, to other creators or competitors. Was that something that ever came up? Like, was there any, like, you were like, oh, this, they're saying this person's better than me, I need to put in extra hours to prove that I'm better? Or did you kind of let go of that ego relatively early on?
Well, when I was a competitor then, all I knew was results. So if people were just making remarks, I'm a man of statistics, which means if I win more than the average player, then okay, I'm better than them. So I can rest assured of that one way or the other. In terms of streaming, I don't think I've, in my earlier days, I got many as many comments that would have been as rude as, oh, this guy is a better streamer than you are.
I definitely had that on the competitive side of League. Maybe we just had a more, slightly more toxic community, I guess, on our side. Have you ever thought, 10 years is a long time, have you ever thought about giving up, ever?
Yes, I probably did. And that probably happened shortly. I'm trying to think of the exact timeline. It must have been when I was actually working a job as my main thing. It's like streaming is okay, but why do it, I suppose? And, you know, now that I think about it, no, I haven't really ever thought about giving up, because the reason why I streamed is because I enjoyed doing it and I would have been playing the games anyway. So, no, I've never thought about giving up.
What do you feel like in those early days were some of the mistakes that you might have made?
Nothing. I did it all perfectly and went better than expected.
That's it. Flawless. Flawless execution. Right. Calculated.
Not calculated. Lucky.
I think you craft your own luck, for sure.
I do think to some element there is, you have to be in the right place at the right time. But ultimately, I do believe that in order to make it, you have to have some amount of luck occur.
Yeah, I agree. I genuinely agree with that. Did you feel like there's anything that you wish you did? So not a mistake necessarily, but is there anything that you wish you did more of?
Sure. I wish that when I was in elementary school that I was starting to play StarCraft 1 so I could be a StarCraft 2 pro. It would have been nice to get in the League of Legends when it first came out so I could be a League of Legends pro. Things like that, but that's all silly.
I don't think that's silly at all, because that comes back to that competitive nature of yours. Do you ever think about that? Like, you know, being a competitor for longer? Especially now when, I mean, I think about that for myself, that competitive scene now is very different than it was back then when we were playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good to get started young, and it's good to get started at a game's release. Those both help a lot.
I remember I was doing some research ahead, and you came up with this term. Was it, Optic? Is that the right? I remember seeing a video.
Yeah, I did make a video about that.
What was that all about? What inspired you to create that?
I had enough people asking me about how do I do well on streaming on Twitch, and I was like, okay, I should create a video about this.
And is there a certain concept behind it? Because I think you mentioned one thing that reminded me about it, which was find a game that is really compelling. I think you're a testament to that. You've done a lot of that, and especially with Hearthstone. Was there any other key concept to Optic? I know it's a framework, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things where the first letter speaks is about like the specific thing you want to do. Ultimately, it boils down to you want to. Well, I think first of all, you should really, really like gaming. And it doesn't have to be gaming. You could do just chatting type things, but you have to like what the content you're doing is. Otherwise, it's going to be like, you know, working a drudgery job. So for me, this goes back to talking about, did you ever consider quitting? No, because I actually enjoy doing it. And then you have to have something that stands out about yourself. And I make the joke. No, I don't make the. I make the comment that sounds like a joke, but is not a joke. Just be the best at the game. So just be, you know, the best player in the world, and then you'll be successful in streaming. That's one of the ways to do it. The other way is to have such a strong force of personality that people want to watch you for you. That is extremely difficult.
How have you felt? Have you been able to do that over the years? Have you been able to, you know, I am Trump. Do you like me or do you not? Have you been able to, you know, cultivate your audience around that?
No, I chose the third option. So first is be really good. Second, be very likable. Third, be first. I was first. So by virtue of being first, I've had that momentum carry me all the way up until now. And I have some qualities of being good.
Yeah, I would definitely say you were good. You're quite hard. I think you're harder on yourself in that regard because you're one of the best players in the world. But you create a lot of content across Twitch and YouTube every single week. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of discipline or consistency that goes into doing that. And that takes more than I think just, well, I think passion can pull you through it, like you enjoy it, but surely you don't enjoy all of the stuff that's going on in the back end.
You're right. That's why I hire the best people, I guess. So I don't edit my own YouTube videos. I have a full-time editor for that. And you're right that I do keep up a consistent schedule in order to give good content to him. And I do plan out the exact types of things that I think will be interesting to watch.
And how was that for you? Because that's letting go of a bit of control. I'm not sure how long ago you made that decision, but what drove you to make that decision?
Other than really initial StarCraft 2 videos, in terms of Hearthstone, I've always had an editor. So, well, no, that's not true. I've, other than a very few initial Hearthstone videos that I put out just unedited, I've always thought that it was a game that was designed to be edited. So I looked for one as a priority.
You're very strategic about your content. You've got it's fascinating because you're super enthusiastic and good at the game. But digging back to your entrepreneurial spirit, you've got this kind of strategicness around doing different things that I think happen to people much later in their career, but you seem to have understood from a very early point in your career.
Maybe. I recognize I think it's important to know your strengths and weaknesses, and it is not my forte to edit videos. So hiring someone good who does that is good. It's not my strength to be a strong personality and a fun streamer. So I never tried. I've just been focused on being good at the game.
I think that's really good advice. Knowing what you're good and what you're not good at. And trying to learn that lesson as early as you can. And doubling down on that. You've been now around the industry for 10 years. I think we're seeing in the last few years more kind of large shifts in streaming than we have in the years prior. With other platforms like Mixer, YouTube Gaming, Facebook getting into the foray. There's a lot of competition between platforms. There's innovation, finally, that's starting to kind of happen. How do you feel about all this change that's happening in the industry?
Well, I don't know if change is really occurring. Sure, there were a few waves made, but I think Twitch still has quite a grasp on the whole industry. It's good that there are more competitors in order. Competition always brings out better innovations from all existing things. This has happened for Hearthstone 2, for example. How do I feel about it? I think ultimately, streaming will still be the same as usual. Twitch will not necessarily always be on top, but there will be a streaming platform and best streaming practices will probably remain the same.
Do you think at all the requirements for streaming will go up? Like the expectation of the viewer? in watching content?
Yes, for sure. Expectations have continuously gone up. Like I mentioned, one of the benefits of my success has been just being first. So when you're first, you don't have to be as good in the game. You don't have to have as interesting of content. So that's how I was successful. Not that my content sucked, but it was good enough. Whereas if I were to enter with the same content as I had entered back then, it would probably not have been good enough.
And how do you innovate? How do you stay? You're creating so much, you're pumping out so much content right now, but how do you kind of stay ahead so that you can ensure that this is your job, you know, your career for many years to come? How do you keep refining your craft and learning like new things?
Well, I always try to keep my strategic mind sharp. One of my hobbies is playing board games. So I will always make any excuse to play other games that train me to think strategically when I'm not streaming. So that's a way of refining my craft in terms of gameplay. In terms of making content, just watching how everyone else does it is really good. Taking notes about their best practices, take a few of them. I know that I've done that in terms of YouTube thumbnails, looking up Twitch emotes, looking up how to like even speak, because when I first started streaming, I was actually a very shy, quiet person. Still actually am, by the way, but significantly less so now.
That's really good advice. It's just like keep learning, keep staying hungry. Even when you are getting a lot of success and finding a lot of success, is don't become complacent, because it's just one of the downfalls of the argument is that once you're at the top, the only way is down. And that's a hard thing to face. And I think it's really cool to see you keeping on it and keep innovating. And the consistency that you have over the years is almost unrivaled. I think you obviously mentioned your time zones and things that you're trying to work on those, but I think just that consistent production of content is a huge testament just to your dedication and work ethic around it. Is there anything you tell yourself? You have a lot of nuggets in this podcast, Trump, but is there anything you tell yourself if you were just starting out, you know, back when you got that scholarship for Magic?
I have to imagine it would be like, we're of course ignoring the cheesy answer of, I know so much now that I could tell my previous self, but if I didn't want to alter the timeline, then I don't think I would need to tell my previous self much. He would have went pretty much the same way. He would have gotten into streaming because he was really into gaming. He would have focused on gaming skill as a priority because that's all he knew how to do. He would have gotten into the same games because, I mean, if I don't change anything about myself, history is just going to repeat. I think I'm in a unique spot where I actually have no regrets about how I got into streaming and how it unfolded. I know it's almost foolhardy to say you don't have any advice to offer yourself, but to some extent, everything for me went far better than expected. I think I had a very fortunate journey of starting in the right games twice. Perhaps just the only thing that I didn't do was I didn't stop when there was like a 2-year lull where I was just basically playing for fun and streaming to, I don't know, 10, 15 viewers. So I stuck through that because it was just fun for me to stream. And that allowed me to keep up the momentum where when a game came around where I was both good at and was really compelling to watch, I could jump into.
Your humility is really fascinating. I think, you know, you've accomplished so much, and it's that passion, that just true passion that you had, I think shines through. And in everything you do. It's an akin to a former teammate of mine. And I kind of see as something similar was Froggen. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a pro league player back in the early days. And he just had an absolute love of the game. And it trumped everything. Trump was a bad pun, but it everything. He just loved what he was doing so much.
I think he's a good example of just be the best at a game. It's easy.
It's easy. Yeah, exactly. Trump, thank you so much for being on. I think if anyone's listening, you should definitely go check it out. It's a little older now, but the Optic video you did, I think, was just generally good advice for anyone who's thinking of becoming a streamer. It's some good principles that you can think about as you approach it. What's next and for you, like in the coming, you know, couple of years, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the day where the civilization genre, the gameplay where it's a long drawn out game, turn-based strategy game, becomes a mainstream desire to watch, because that's the type of game that I like playing the most. Some sort of economic development game or a big civilization builder. So when that comes around, watch out. That's the type of game I'll be streaming and I'll be on top end. It'll be a lot of fun. So looking forward to those types of changes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on, Trump. I look forward to the day that you're streaming the new Civ VR, maybe. I don't know what that's going to look like, but thank you so much for being on. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.